First up, though, on Summer Breakfast.
Because as you hear, the sound is very clear. They are attacking the civilian house with gun, with tank, and using cannon, and no one cares. You can't hear the bomb. Where is the humanity?
Those sounds come from Syria, specifically the city of Homs, where 23 people were killed by gunfire today, Syrian time, in continuing clashes between protesters and the regime of Bashar al-Assad. This comes as about 50 observers from the Arab League are arriving to oversee a deal aimed at ending 9 months of bloodshed in the country, which the United Nations estimates has claimed around 5,000 lives. It's unclear, though, whether or not the observers are being allowed into Homs, which clearly, right now, is the centre of the violence. Under the Arab League plan, all armed forces are supposed to be withdrawn and prisoners released, while up to 200 observers from the Arab League and the press are given full access to the country. Will that actually happen? Will it make a difference? And what will they see? For more, I'm joined by Abdul Omar, who is the coordinator of the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights based in London. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hello, Wally.
Are you hopeful that this delegation of observers to Syria from the Arab League is going to shed light on this situation?
I am hopeful, but at the same time, very sceptical, Walid. It is, even if we look at it from a mathematical perspective, a delegation of 50 individuals, or even if we say 200, which the full number will be, to cover a country the size of Syria, or even a city the size of Homs, is very unlikely. Homs is a very large city, and the fact that the movement of these of this delegation will be very much controlled by the regime means that they will not be able to see the full and true picture of what is really happening on the ground.
If, though, the violence is as widespread as has been reported now and is as high scale and high level as has been reported, then you'd think even with a small number of observers, you'd be able to see it and report on it, wouldn't you?
Correct, that if they are allowed access to the city in the first place. As I said, right now I'm a little bit sceptical as to whether they will be allowed. If we analyse the words of the Syrian Foreign Ministry, Jihad al-Maqdisi said that this group of observers, Syria, as in the regime, is responsible for their protection. And I am not surprised if at some point they'll say, actually, the place is not safe for you to go to because there are armed gangs and the usual story that we hear from them, and therefore move them to a different location or ban them from going there altogether. They have said they will allow them freedom of movement, but they put the clause of saying where that is safe for them to do so. And I'm worried that they will use that clause as a get-out clause more than anything.
Right. Well, I'm interested, though, that you mention Jihad al-Maqdisi, the Syrian, the spokesperson for the Syrian Foreign Ministry. Just so our listeners can hear what he actually had to say, this is what was reported earlier this morning.
They are here to monitor the violence from any side. So if the violence in Homs is, you know, generated from armed element, yes, they can. In general, they can go anywhere, but in coordination with the Syrian side. So they let us know to provide their own security. We don't intervene in their task, in their work, in their details.
So it's the coordination from the Syrian side that bothers you most?
Yeah, absolutely. As we, the case with Homs will be the real test bed to actually identify how fruitful the overall mission will actually be.
Where would you like to see them go?
Today, they must visit the districts of Bab Amr, the district of Bab Sba', and the districts of Insha'at within Homs. Today alone, Walid, we've had 42 individuals killed in Homs altogether, the vast majority in Bab Amr, as a result of direct tank shelling from T-52 and T-72 tanks.
The Syrian government has been urging us to believe that the violence has actually been going the other way, that it's Syrian armed forces that are being killed and that the protesters themselves are being protected, and Bashar al-Assad famously said you'd have to be a madman to kill your own people. Do you think the Syrian government is going to try to illustrate this reality that it's constructing in some way?
The Syrian regime will use every single tool it's got in order to falsify and spread its propaganda message. They have been doing so for the past 9 months. They have done nothing to show that this time is going to be any different. We are hugely skeptical about the events that happened just a few days ago in Damascus. And unfortunately, that paints a picture that the regime is prepared to go quite a long way and even cause deaths at the scale that we saw with the two car bombs.
Well, so let's be clear about that then. You're referring to last Friday, two suicide bombs went off in Damascus, 44 people died. The government has said that this was al-Qaeda. You're saying that the security groups themselves, the Syrian security forces, were behind the blast. Is that right?
If we look at the situation and analyze a little bit more, Walid, there is a number of elements that would show that this whole event is somehow suspicious. Timing not being the least, but everything altogether, from the fact that within 40 minutes we had the message broadcast by officials and the Syrian media saying that it was al-Qaeda. Now this is in a country where up until a few months ago we've got no documentation whatsoever of al-Qaeda presence. The fact that the deputy foreign minister took straight away the delegation of observers that were there in the advance team, as well as a group of journalists, on a tour of the actual scene, when we know that this is not how the Syrian regime normally deals with these cases. If you remember a couple of years ago when we had the incident of the assassination of a key Palestinian figurehead, that was treated as a matter of national security by the regime, and not one camera crew was allowed. The whole event was cleared up with fire engines washing the scene. Why is it that this time they decide to act differently and bring their own, bring the media and the observers to observe the scene? There's a lot of unanswered questions in terms of how did these cars get there in the first place in what is a heavily fortified, through a number of checkpoints, area of the city. And another item is the fact that Jihad Maqdisi himself said that 2 days earlier they had reports that al-Qaeda had infiltrated the country through Lebanon. Now, if we base this on couple this with what one of the generals said on the scene, that the car bomb had more than 300 kilograms of explosives, I fail to see how al-Qaeda could, within 48 hours, arrange such a mission in what is a country that is so heavily covered through the intelligence forces. It doesn't add up to assume that al-Qaeda, with zero previous presence in the country, to have been able to mount such a huge operation within 48 hours and execute it without the regime actually being aware of it. It's all too fishy.
Abdullah, we're going to have to leave it there. Let's hope that some of the questions, at least, that people are asking get resolved by the observers, notwithstanding your scepticism. Appreciate your time. That's Abdullah, the coordinator of the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights, based in London. And we'll keep you up to date with that situation as it develops throughout the week.